Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
Well, in our life study message today from the book of Philippians, we want to focus on this practical Christ, this experiential practical Christ revealed in Philippians chapter 4. And here to help us today is Ron Kangas. Ron, thank you for being here. I'm really glad that you can help with this program. But I'm also really looking forward to this message.
I also am looking forward to it and to our coordination to present the highlights, the crucial matters in this precious portion of ministry.
Ron, this word forbearance is not much spoken of, I think, in our culture and society. Maybe a lot of people don't really know what is conveyed in this. Before these 5 programs, today's and the following 4 next week, I think all of our listeners that are able to be part of these final life studies in Philippians are going to be brought into a very rich appreciation of all that's incorporated into this word, into this virtue that Christ expresses and Paul tries to bring us into. The verse particularly in Philippians chapter 4, verse 5 says, "Let your forbearance be known to all men." Paul also uses this word in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, the first verse. He says, "I beseech you through the meekness and forbearance of Christ." That's a literal translation there. The forbearance mentioned in chapter 4 of Philippians is not an ordinary forbearance or an ethical forbearance. It's the forbearance of Christ, a spiritual attribute or a virtue of Christ. And it must become ours. Then we can make our forbearance known to all men. Let's join Witness Lee for this very insightful and enlightening life study dealing with the most excellent virtue of Christ, forbearance.
Paul says, "Let your forbearance be known to all men." Why Paul didn't say humility? All the other hundreds of virtues. He only picked up one of the 100 virtues, that forbearance, which nobody knows so well. We all know what is love. We all know what is kindness. We all know what is humility. Do you know what is forbearance? And then why, right after this word, he added another sentence, which apparently has nothing to do with this matter of forbearance. The Lord is near. Let your forbearance be known to all men, period. The Lord is near. What is this? Then, following this sentence, in nothing be anxious, but in everything, let your request be made known to God. All men, nothing, in everything. In the midst of all this, all men, nothing, everything, is the Lord, who is near. What is this? I must tell you, you cannot make it. You cannot have your forbearance be known to all men. And you cannot be anxious in nothing. You don't have the ability. And neither you can make your request be known to God. You say, a prayer is easy. Prayer is the hardest thing. You just cannot pray. You cannot make your request known to God. To do all these things, you need to learn the secret. And you need to be in the one who empowers you.
Ron, maybe not a lot of people even know what this word means. Have you got a definition for us?
Definition, I would say no. An attempt at an enlarged or expanded description, I can try that. Let's begin. Forbearance is a combination of patience, long-suffering, being reasonable in a very sweet way, being satisfied with less than is actually due you, instead of making severe and strong demands of others. It involves considering others. And Paul says, let your forbearance be made known to all men, indicates that we're not experiencing forbearance in isolation. This is something in relation to all kinds of people in all kinds of situations. So forbearance is patience, long-suffering, kindness, sensitivity, consideration, contentment with less than our due, endurance. All of these together topped off with a very sweet reasonableness of the situation where, as Paul said, when you learn the secret, and I'm anticipating what will come in future messages probably, he could be content in any kind of situation, in all circumstances, in any circumstances. That's forbearance. Whether he was abased, whether he abounded, whether he was appreciated or attacked, respected or condemned, in a very real sense, it didn't matter because he was experiencing Christ and the forbearance of Christ, and Christ has forbearance, so he was content, he was peaceful, he was reasonable, he did not demand others, he was easily satisfied with less than was due, he was very careful in how he related to others, he wouldn't make demands on them. We will see, I believe, as this program advances, we're talking about an all-inclusive virtue. Love is here. Humility is here. Kindness is here. See, Chris, I didn't give a definition. I knew I couldn't. This is an attempt at an enlarged description to give us at least a peek into the inclusiveness of this virtue.
That reference in 2 Corinthians is in chapter 10, and it's a literal translation. Some of the translations use another word, but the first verse in chapter 10 says, "But I myself, Paul, entreat you through the meekness and gentleness of Christ." So why not a more common virtue, Ron? Something we would easily understand, like love, humility, or kindness.
Well, I cannot enter into Paul's thinking. I can just offer the impression that I have from two sides. God is inspiring the writing of these epistles. God wants to communicate something to us that's far beyond our natural concepts of what is ethical, what is moral, what is polite, what's acceptable. He wants us to realize there's another realm of virtue that expresses Christ in a particular way. Then from Paul's side, this is a testimony of how he lived. Later in the epistle, he refers twice to the authority he had as an apostle, which was for building up. But here you see, contrary to so many today, that they just thrive when they can exercise what they think is authority over others. Paul was beseeching, he was appealing in the divinely enriched humanity of Jesus, in the meekness of Christ. So Paul is not vindicating himself, he's not fighting for something. Then the forbearance indicates that Paul, in relation to the Corinthians, among whom there were many problems, and some were even deeply skeptical about Paul, even critical of him, yet he exhibited the forbearance of Christ, kindness, thoughtfulness, humility, patience, endurance, lowliness, contentment, satisfaction, reasonableness, sweetness, pleasantness. I'm glad he used this word. Perhaps the Lord would prod us to consider, instead of just glossing over it by a word that's quite common to our ethical vocabulary, we should pause and ask the Lord, why did Paul speak of forbearance? Why did he say the forbearance of Christ? What is the forbearance of Christ? And Lord, how does this relate to Paul's emphasis on forbearance in Philippians chapter 4?
You know, we have said from the outset of this life study of Philippians, this is a book where Paul particularly is focusing on experience, the experience of Christ. Of course, many of his writings are examined from a doctrinal perspective, and the great truths and doctrines of the New Testament in large measure, I think, come from Paul's writings. But this word and the way it's being described and presented, it almost defies a doctrinal understanding, doesn't it?
You could say it defies it. I would say it makes the doctrinal understanding irrelevant. It transcends the common, elementary kind of spiritual approach. Oh, this is just an epistle about joy, about being happy. No, we're coming to the end of an epistle filled with the experience of Christ. So when Paul apparently is coming to a more common level and seems to be speaking about ethics, we need to consider this in the light of all that preceded it. And then the way may be open. The word is already open. The way needs to be open in our heart, our mind, and our spirit to see something here that's beyond doctrine, that's beyond a superficial reading of the epistle. It actually is the case of a man under duress, magnifying Christ, taking Christ as his forbearance, and making that forbearance known to everyone with whom he might come in contact.
And though it may seem like a very spiritual term, I think the example we're going to get in this next section is going to make it very, very practical. Let's go back to Witness Lee.
You have no demand. You don't demand anything on others. No demand. Whatever the other party will do to you, you are satisfied. You are just satisfied. Suppose you have told your wife that you just like to drink hot water. And then your wife serves you a cold drink. You would say, don't you know what I drink? This is not forbearance. This is to be just exactly. Don't you know? Didn't I tell you? We've been married for 5 years. You don't know what I drink? Don't you know I just got the cold these days? And my throat is afraid of anything cold. Don't you know this? You know why you serve me with a cold drink. This is not forbearance. Forbearance what? Cold drink? Hot drink? Lukewarm drink? Whatsoever. I'm satisfied. I'm so easy to be satisfied with less than what I should get.
Very short section, but I think it marvelously made the point. Sometimes the easiest way to see something that is a little obscure is to understand exactly what it's not. And I think his example there we could all relate to, couldn't we?
It speaks for itself. It's so clear. It's enlightening, and we have to admit it's somewhat convicting. We've been there. We've said that, at least in nature. We've reacted that way. How we need this particular portion of Philippians to show us a whole other way to live the Christian life by truly magnifying Christ and displaying forbearance, this all-inclusive virtue, in relation to everyone, including a dear wife who gives us a drink, gives us something to eat other than what we requested, other than what we think we should get. We don't pretend to be satisfied. That's false. That's politics. That's diplomacy. We are truly satisfied. Thank you, dear. Thank you for the drink. We may or may not drink it, but we're not disappointed. We don't react to claim rights, to criticize anyone, to put them in their place, so to speak. We're just content. This is Christ and Christ living again.
Let's go back to Witness Lee for this final portion.
Suppose your wife does serve you a cold drink against your will, against your wish, against your desire, and you say, don't you know I got cold? Just this much, you lose every bit of Christian virtue. If you would be, by Christ's grace, easily satisfied with anything, just for your health, probably you wouldn't take the cold drink. But you exercise your forbearance, not to say anything, not to complain, not to condemn, not to explain, not to say anything, but just what? Be happy, satisfied. Here, in this forbearance, you have every bit of your Christian virtue. Oh, the virtue of patience here, the virtue of humility here, the virtue of self-control here, the virtue of looking to the Lord is here. The virtue of admitting that the Lord is sovereign in everything. You're sovereign of the Lord. You're son of the Lord. You have to say, praise the Lord for the cold drink. Hallelujah for the cold drink. Amen. Even I cannot take it. I have to say, praise the Lord. Very good. You can see, forbearance is a virtue that comprises all Christian virtues. All the ugly things that come out of our Christian life is due to the short of forbearance. Why you don't love? Because you have no forbearance. Why you don't tolerate? Because you don't have forbearance. Why you talk a lot? Because you don't have forbearance. If you don't have forbearance in your family, you can never have peace. Peace comes out from forbearance. Dear saints, this is Christ in chapter 1. To me, to live is forbearance. This is Christ. To me, to live is Christ. Christ is forbearance. Regards death, life, I magnify Christ. Let Christ be magnified. In other words, let what? Let forbearance be made known. Let Christ be magnified means what? Means let forbearance be made known to all men. Forbearance is the practical Christ.
Well, Ron, I just have to marvel at his ministry. He's able to take all of these high things that we talked about in the first three chapters and then present them so practically in this one word, forbearance. It really is to magnify Christ, isn't it?
It really is. And the more we ponder on this, the more we consider this, we can get an understanding of how our brother Lee was led to this realization in Philippians 4. Let's just remember this is an epistle devoted to the real experience of Christ. And in the first three chapters, you have various aspects of this, till eventually Paul is expressing his longing in chapter 3 to know Christ, to know the power of his resurrection, to be conformed to his death, to participate in the fellowship of his sufferings, to attain to the out-resurrection from among the dead. In chapter 2, Christ is our pattern. In chapter 1, to me to live is Christ. Paul wanted Christ to be magnified in his body, whether through life or through death, whatever would happen. It makes no sense to go to chapter 4 and, yes, be somewhat surprised at the simplicity of the language and just kind of brush it off as some ethical exhortation to kind of wrap things up, and especially some that like to quote the verses about where Paul says to think on these things, whatever is this, whatever is that. But sadly, so many lose sight not only of the context in the first three chapters, but in the secret that's in chapter 4. Paul says, clearly, emphatically, he had learned the secret. He was initiated into it through a certain process. And he learned the secret of being content in every kind of situation. Then he makes known the key. I can do all things in him, that is Christ, who empowers me, who is a dynamo in me. And all the things are the things described throughout this epistle. So if we focus on the portion concerning forbearance with this in view, and we are open to the Lord and seeking the Lord and not trusting in our incomplete knowledge and in our concepts, we may be enlightened to realize to make our forbearance known is actually to cause Christ to be magnified in the sight of others. The forbearance is the forbearance of Christ. It is Christ as forbearance. So Paul is continuing what he has previously presented in chapters 1 through 3, but now he is living out this Christ in his circumstances. So when he says the Lord is near, he is not referring primarily to the nearness of the Lord's coming again, but the Lord is at hand. The Lord is right here. This person who is forbearance, who lived the life of forbearance, is right here. Make your forbearance known to all, because the Lord is here. Learn the secret. Learn the key. And I'm reflecting back upon perhaps the first segment. We cannot pray adequately without the secret, the key of being empowered in Christ. We cannot rejoice. We cannot be content. We cannot have anything other than ourselves and perhaps an attempt to be virtuous and ethical and upright. So what we have in Philippians 4 is not a descent from a high peak of revelatory experiences of Christ to a level of just common human ethics, behavior. No, what we have in forbearance is really the consummation and the consolidation in one word, forbearance. All that has been disclosed concerning Christ in our experience.
Thank you, Ron, for your fellowship. We'll look forward to your next visit with us.
Thank you very much for listening.